Hello and welcome to Parking Thought, the podcast and YouTube channel where we share our thoughts when we park, sometimes in a chair, oftentimes in a car. You're going to want to like and subscribe wherever you happen to find us. Our mission is to help make sure that we don't overlook the good in the world. On this show, we explore the contribution of systems and people we often take for granted. Curiosity, meet gratitude. My name is Jacob, and I'm glad you're here today. In this edition, we're going to be talking about Scott Adams and a recent post or article interview that he did over at Wired.com. And it's interesting, sometimes we highlight people for a lot of different reasons. I think Scott Adams might come up on more than one episode. But for this episode, we're going to be talking about his Wired article. Now, who is Scott Adams? Well, honestly, I've never met him. But you might know him as the creator and author of the popular comic strip Dilbert, right? So we have a couple of rules about Dilbert at our work, especially on our projects. We have a Project Dilbert correlation theory. So the Project Dilbert correlation theory states, because every theory has to make a statement, right? So the Project Dilbert correlation theory states that for any activity on the project, right, or any situation on the project, there is a corresponding Dilbert comic readily available. Now, we also have the inverse Project Dilbert correlation theory, which states that for any activity that does not have a Dilbert available, it did not actually happen. And so we use Dilbert as our reality check. And it's just kind of a fun joke for those of you guys that appreciate theory jokes. That was a good one. And I'll wait and pause for you to finish laughing. All right, it wasn't that funny, I promise. We'll try not to do jokes again in the future. But let's see here. The article at Wired.com, going to be linked in the show notes. Go ahead and take a look at it. But one of the things that Scott Adams talks about is how recently, so he has this ability to look, and I've read his book, listened to it actually, and he narrated it, which was really nice. Win Bigly, right? And it's got his Dogbert character with a Trump wig on it. And it's a pretty interesting book. And what it does is it helps to understand the different dimensions, one particular dimension, different dimensions that we see in our political theater. And I will call it theater. I'm not sure if there's a better word for that, but theater kind of works for where things are at right now. And one of those dimensions that's often overlooked is the persuasive dimension, right? How do our words and language persuade? And so while we oftentimes look at rhetoric and study, you know, was it artfully done or was it this or what was it expected? You know, we don't often look at whether or not it was persuasive. And Scott Adams has studied persuasion when it comes to, you know, rhetoric and other words. And this study of persuasion cost him in the 2016 election to look at the persuasive capacity of the different candidates, both on the Republican side and on the Democratic side. And he would argue for, you know, not the most persuasive candidate to win, but he would argue that the most persuasive candidate is likely going to be the one to win. And he early on identified Trump's ability to persuade, and argued that Trump is going to win the election. And, you know, Scott Adams, like many creators, you know, is oftentimes surrounded by folks who are on the more liberal side of the spectrum, and they were offended by that. And I look at it and I say, well, it was just his research, you know, and his opinion, and it's fine. He wasn't campaigning for the president, or for President Trump. He was identifying that Trump's ability to persuade was powerful, and he was talking about that. And so when that happened, though, he lost a lot of friends, he lost a lot of business, and he started to see a more caustic environment in our conversations than, you know, and it started to hit home, right? We oftentimes see it, but it didn't hit home for him. And so he ended up, you know, writing about it and talking about it. And so I think he's got a new book out, and that's probably why he did this interview. But there's a couple of good quotes. One of them says, Adams blames the current climate on social media and a clickbait business model that rewards sensationalism over fact-based reporting. Since the technology is here to stay, he says, we're going to have to just deal with it, right? We need to come up with a different norm, right? Clickbait articles and clickbait business models are a system that is a part of our lives. It's not going to go away. But how can we overcome that? How can we adapt, right? So it's okay that that system exists and we can adapt to it the same way we've adapted to lots of systems. And so Scott applies some very good advice here. He says, when society changes every now and then, you need a new rule of manners. Now think about that. So we don't need to necessarily change a business model and all the technology that's held on together by Band-Aids and paper glue. We need to, yeah, because computers really, they're magical, but that doesn't mean that they're really, you know, rocket science. You know, they're not foolproof. There are lots of code that keeps your life together that's patched together. But interesting thing here, he says, we need a new set of manners. Well, we can change that, right? You can change, I can change. And he goes on to say, so for example, when cell phones were invented, you needed to have a new set of rules about where you can use them. And, you know, can you do it in a restaurant, right? And we've all kind of adapted to that. Social media has gotten so hot that maybe we need a new set of rules. And so he identifies a whole lot of, you know, new rules, and two of them are covered in this Wired article. So two of them, one of them is the 48-hour rule. It states that anybody ought to be able to rescind anything they say within 48 hours, and we ought to not fault them for it. Now, how much nicer would the world be if you said something and maybe not your best moment, and you wanted to take it back? Now, you wouldn't really be taking it back. It would still be out there. But if we could apply, as a society, the ability to forgive somebody for saying something, if they apologized or rescinded it within 48 hours, you know, no questions asked. Hey, you took it down. Thanks. Right? Like, we do a lot of bullying online, or at least it seems other people have to deal with a lot of bullying. My Twitter followers and are some of the greatest people ever. Some of the followers that I've got, or some of the people I follow on Twitter similarly, are some of the greatest people ever. So I don't see a lot of the online bullying that I guess hits the media. But imagine that we could just forgive and let it go, you know, 48 hours later. And oh my goodness, now I have the Frozen song in my head. But yes, you literally can let things go. It's fine, you know. Then the next thing is, also in there, he talks about, you know, that 48-hour rule might give somebody an opportunity to clarify. What were they feeling at the time that they wrote something that may have been more brash? I did that just yesterday. So I am recording two episodes in one day, so the days might be a little off, but I did that just the other day. There was an article in the Washington Post that published about how our general officers and senior leaders have had some really harsh criticism about Afghanistan and it's not being successful. And somebody had posted that now would be a good time to bring troops home from Afghanistan. And my comment, it was very brash and passionate, was now is too late for some. I don't know if I need to take that away in 48 hours, but it was just one of those comments where I was in a heated moment and I was responding, you know, taking all the troops home now from Afghanistan would still be too late for some of them. And that'll have to be another subject. Let's keep going back to Scott Adams here. So the other idea that he presented is the 20-year rule. Okay. So the 20-year rule, if you said something 20 years ago, plus or minus 5 years, right? The 20-year rule says that if you said something 20 years ago, we ought to be able to forgive you for it. And I love the way he thinks about this, right? Oh, so here's his direct quote. Everyone should be automatically forgiven for any mistakes they made more than two decades ago, with the exception of certain serious crimes. Okay, that makes sense to me. It used to be the case that people's thoughtless remarks and embarrassing gaffes would naturally fade into obscurity, but social media has created a situation where it's easy to endlessly dredge up a person's worst moments. If we judge anybody by our worst moments, that's going to be hard. And to continue on with the Adams interview, we're not the same people we were 20 years ago, Adams says. We've learned a bunch. Our context has changed. If you're doing all the right stuff, then you're getting smarter and kinder and wiser as you're getting older. So being blamed for something you did 20 years ago is effectively being blamed for something a stranger did, because you're just not that person anymore. And this is why I wanted to bring this up as an episode on Parking Thought. You are not the same person you were 20 years ago, and you are doing the right things. You are getting smarter. You are getting wiser. You are getting kinder than you were 20 years ago. The person you were 20 years ago may have looked like you and felt like you, but it's a different person. And I love the way Scott Adams describes that person as a stranger to you. If you were to meet that person today versus who you are now, you know, it is a different person. You've done it. And at the holidays, we oftentimes reflect and set new goals for ourselves as we work in towards the new year. But take the time to recognize that over the last 20 years, you've gotten so much better. And you've been able to add so much more to the world and share so much more. And it's amazing that even though you've been able to do all that, you have the opportunity and potential to add so much more value as we move into the future. And so I do say in a lot of all of these episodes, I am glad you are here today. Because I am glad you're here today. I'm glad we're not doing this alone. We can make the world a kinder, better, happier place. And I love Scott Adams' advice here. The 20-year rule, if you said it 20 years ago, hey, we're not worried about it, right? The 48-hour rule, hey, sometimes we do post in moments of passion. And maybe we need to take a breath and take another look at it. And let us just thought, oh, that's normal. Yeah, he took it down in 48 hours. And I think we could change a lot of the climate. I don't have a light the world update for you guys today. It is the month of December, but because I'm recording two episodes at a time, I don't have a more recent light the world update. If you want to sign up for the light the world promptings, you can do so over at churchofjesuschrist.org, right? Or you can look up the hashtag light the world and they'll send you a prompt. Now the light the world campaign, as we've talked about before, is a campaign that is run by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And while you may not agree with their religious philosophy, if you're looking for a simple prompt to remind you to help make the world a better place during the day, you can sign up for the text messages to do so. And they're pretty easy things to do. One of them the other day was to pray for a friend or family member. And prayer's a pretty easy thing to do in the sense that it doesn't involve a whole lot of people or it doesn't involve a whole lot of money. Prayer can also be a really hard thing to do if it's something you're not familiar with or shy about. But wherever you happen to be out on that prayer spectrum, whether it's something you're used to or not, I challenge you to go ahead and give it a try. I've really enjoyed being able to pray and having those moments to reflect and have a discussion about what's going on. So I want to say thank you guys for tuning into this episode. It can be delivered to wherever you happen to be at. And please feel free to like and subscribe. So if you're going to subscribe, there's Spotify. I think we're even putting this stuff out on Instagram these days, or at least trying to. Google Play Music, Apple Podcast, all the things and places, right? If you're a Twitter person, you can follow at Parking Thought. If you are on Instagram, it is at @parking_thought because Parking Thought was taken. I'm not sure who got that before me, but I wish it would have been me. The other thing I want to challenge you guys to do, as I do in every episode and every ending, is that remember, in a world where you can choose to be anything, why not choose to be grateful?